1 Samuel chapter 17, I'm going to read several verses of scripture, much more than what I'm used to reading. So just bear with me. I need to build a foundation on what I want to teach tonight or this morning. And when you have it, would you say amen?
Amen.
And David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with a keeper and took and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the trench as the host was going forth to fight and shouted for the battle. For the army and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army. And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage and ran to the army and came and saluted his brethren. And as he talked with him, behold, there came the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words. And David heard them. And when all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, have you seen this man that be come up? And surely to defy Israel is he come up. And it shall be that the man which, or who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches. And will give him a daughter and make his father's house free in Israel. And he spake to the man that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth the Philistine and taketh away the reproach of Israel, or from Israel? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? And the people answered him after this manner, saying, so shall it be done to the man that killed him. And Eliab, his eldest brother, David's eldest brother, when he spake unto the man, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride. So you got to love the haters, right? And the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. And David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? Skipping down to verse 47, I'm just going to read a portion of that verse there. It says, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. For the battle is the Lord's. I want to preach to you on this thought this morning. Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? God bless you. You can be seated in the presence of the Lord. David was anointed the next king of Israel. In fact, in 1 Samuel chapter 16, the preceding chapter of what we read of our scripture text, right around verse 13, it speaks of that, where the prophet had went into Jesse's house, David's father, and anointed David to be king. Samuel had done this at the instruction and the prompting of the Lord. You see, David was yet not the king at this time. He was still serving his father, Jesse, and simultaneously he was coming back and forth from the palace, and he was serving Saul. We would know that David was a wonderful musician. He was a psalm writer, but he was a musician. He played the harp. And so from time to time, at the beckoning of Saul, David would come to the palace and he would play the harp, and it would soothe the spirits or the personality or even the mood of Saul. And then he would go back and he would be with his father. And David was summoned to go and do this from time to time. But you see, David was, although he was anointed king, it was not yet his season yet. David was still serving his father. There's a lot of meat there just with that you can be anointed, but not yet appointed because your season's not ready yet. Think about that. You can have the anointing, but you could still just be serving. You could still be just in the MIT stage. You could just still be on orientation format just because your season hasn't come yet. In fact, I wish I had a little help this morning. Some folks that says, you know, I'm waiting for my season. It's winter time right now in my season, and I know we're in summer, but spiritually, maybe you're in the fall season. Maybe you're in the spring season. Things are blooming. You're bearing some fruit. Maybe you're in the rooted season. You're just getting rooted this morning. I wish I had a little help this morning. I would say, you know what? I understand that there is a season to everything.
Yeah.
Ecclesiastes 3 says, to everything there is a season, and to every purpose under the heaven. You see, David was learning, I find this interesting, David was learning about being a king by serving the king. You got to read this. 1 Samuel chapter 16, 17, and 18. Read the there's so much leadership stuff there. There's so much submission stuff there. There's just so much good Bible teaching in those three chapters. David was anointed to be king, but he was still serving a king that God had rejected. You see, Saul wasn't the spiritual leader. Saul was a political leader. The spiritual leader was Nathan and was Samuel. Those were the spiritual leaders. The prophets were the spiritual leaders. David was waiting for a season of transition to take place. In the waiting, he was being transformed. In fact, the scripture would tell us in Ecclesiastes 3 and 1, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. You see, waiting is not fun. I don't like to wait. Waiting is not enjoyable. I'm the guy that you go someplace and they have you have to stand in line. I'm looking for how much extra can I pay to get to the front of the line. I am that guy. I am that father. I am. Waiting creates frustration. Waiting can cause you to come up with all kinds of stuff. Waiting and serving will build things in you that you may not necessarily realize that it's being created in you, but sometime down the road, you'll begin to appreciate it. See, some of us are frustrated this morning because you feel as if your season has already passed. You feel and often frustrate yourself with the uncertainties of life, of ministry, of finances, of family, of ambition. But I'm asking you this morning, one and all, is there not a cause? Is there not a purpose? Is there not a reason why you're in the waiting game? Is there not a reason why there's things taking place in the spiritual, the prophetic, the miraculous? You've been waiting for God to do a miracle, and God is saying, I need a position. Somebody in a place so that there can be a miracle. You've been saying, God, when is my healing? And God is saying, well, you got to be sick. You got to have some debilitating circumstances in your body or in your life or in your finances in order for me to be a miracle worker and a way maker and a peace giver and a problem solver. A lot of times we're looking at stuff and saying, well, God, when? What about me? And God's saying, hey, right about now.
Yeah.
See, what are you willing to do while you're waiting? Scripture says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Waiting will make you fatigued. The scripture says, don't get weary in well-doing. What do you do when you wait? What are you doing in the downtime to prepare and be ready for when God gets ready to elevate you? Think about this. Is there not a Sunday school class that you can help with? Is there not a neighbor that you can teach a Bible study to? Is there not a coworker that you can befriend and pray for? Is there not a customer, a client, a boss, a friend, or a loved one that you can invite, bring to church, ladies gathering, a men's meeting? Is there not a backslider or someone in the church that is struggling and you can check on them and encourage them? Listen to Pastor this morning. God has a way of ensuring that the right season is available for the right person. Let me prove it to you this morning. God is not always looking for the most qualified. It's not always the one that's the most obvious choice. It's not the one that talks about it the most and brags about their resume and self-promotes. I assure you, it won't be those people. Or the ones that has the most tenure. No. It's the ones that are available.
Right.
It's the ones that are faithful. It's the ones that God can trust. And it's the ones that are willing. But I come to tell somebody this morning, is there not a cause? We have to be available for God to use us. We can't talk about it. We can't read about it. We can't brag about it and not do something about it. But we got to be available for God to use us. If He's going to use anybody Lord, why don't you use me? Lord, if you're going to have revival anywhere, why don't you have revival right here with me, God? If you're going to heal somebody, Lord, why not it be me, God? If you're going to bless somebody, Lord, why don't you bless me, Lord? If you're going to anoint somebody, Lord, why don't you start with me, Lord? I want to be available. I want to be faithful. I'm going to be willing, Lord. When you call me, I will answer, oh God.
Yeah.
Notice this. God puts up and God puts down. The scripture said promotion cometh from God.
Yeah.
See, but David was not in the battle. We come to our scripture setting. David was young. He was the youngest of his brethren. In fact, he was the forgotten one. The scripture proves that because he was out in the field when the man of God came to anoint the king, the next king. David was forgotten. He was just left out in the field and out in left field sometimes. Maybe literally is how you feel. But he was instructed by his father to go see get a report from his brothers in the army and see what was happening. He said, take this bread and take this cheese. And inquire of your brethren. Bring a report of what's taking place. Bring back a report. David was still under authority. Anointed to be king, but still under authority. See, being under authority is not a bad thing.
No.
You don't always have to be the boss. No. David goes and he gets to the battleground. And on one side of the hillside was the Philistine army. The other side was the Israelites. And in the middle was a valley. David comes and he gets up early in the morning. There's something about getting up early in the morning. That's what David, the scripture talks about that. David gets there early in the morning and he comes to the battlefield and he leaves his wagon or his carriage with the carriage keeper and he comes as their Israelites are going to battle and shouted for the battle and he comes and he brings he wants to bring a report back to his father and he's there and twice a day, this would take place. Goliath, the champion, would come out. You notice the scripture setting, before it even tells Goliath's name, it says the champion, the Philistine, from Gath, Goliath.
Yeah.
Now standing at 5 foot tall. No, this guy was 9 foot tall, big, covered in bronze war apparel. An iron spear. His spearhead alone was between 15 to 18 pounds. The spearhead alone. Goliath had an armor bearer that walked before him. He had an entourage before an entourage was popular. The champion, Goliath, twice a day would come out, stand at the hillside, and shout, "Is there not a man to come and fight me?" Morning. The Israelites would wake up to this man, challenging them and defying them. And they would go to bed with this man challenging and defying them. Some of us have giants in our lives and you go to bed with those giants staring at you in the face, worrying you, stressing you out. You wake up in the morning to it. You go to bed to it and you're wondering, is there not a cause? Is there not a reason? And you gripe and you complain. You buy the shirt that says, "I got a pity party." You get the purse that says, "I have a pity party." You tag everybody on Facebook, "I'm having a pity party." And God is saying, "You were praying for me to do something for you, and I positioned you to do something, and now you're crying about it. Now you're whining about it. You wanted a blessing, and I'm going to bless you. You wanted a miracle, and I'm going to give you a miracle. Is there not a cause?" And for 40 days this took place. You would think that Saul, the soldier, the leader, would have done something in 40 days. That's ridiculous. Amen. Think about that. For 40 days? That's more than a month. That's a month and 10 days. That's crazy. For 6 weeks, this would take place. 1 Samuel 17 and 8, verse 2:11. When the Israelites would hear it, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. No different than some of us here today. For weeks, for days, even years, you've heard the enemy, your past, the haters, the complainers, your finances, the small-minded people, the hypocrites, the Pharisees, the negative Nellings compare you, judge you, talk about you, size you up against your peers, size you up against your brothers and sisters. They tear you down. They defy you. They bring up your past. They tell you that you're too old. You're too skinny. You're too fluffy. You have no education. You got a criminal record. You're a new convert. You don't speak well. You failed. You're not a people person. Your time has passed. You're not qualified. And those words play over and over and over in your minds. They become quotes. They become ideas. It's like a song set or a song list on your playlist. We can't be broken records. That's an old term now. You got an iPod and you got the song on repeat and you're wondering, is there not a reason? Is there not a cause? It's caused you to become isolated. It's caused you to become depressed. You feel like backsliding and you're scared and you're worried and you're oppressed. I come to tell you this morning that the battle is not yours, but it's the Lord's. It may be big. It may be a giant. But the bigger they are, baby, the harder they fall. And if God be for you, who can be against you? Is there not a cause? Playing around over and over and over and over. Saul was supposed to be the king, full of strategy and insight. Saul was bigger than everybody on the Israelite side. 1 Samuel 9 and 2 says that he was a goodlier person. For him, for his shoulders and upward, he was higher than any of the other people. We don't know if he was a string bean, a bean pole, or just a big, solid, big man. But guess what? He was still bigger than everybody, and he was the leader of the army, and he was a scaredy cat. Saul was afraid, and that didn't help the cause. See, some of you have been so strong for so long for everyone else. You've been the solid staple for your kids. You're the go-to person on your job. The office. You've carried everyone financially for so long. You've always had an open door policy. You're that aunt that everybody can talk to. But you've hit some roadblocks lately. Your health hasn't been the best. Your job situation is weak. Your relationships are strained. Your walk with God is consistent, but it's on the ropes. You're getting weary. Come to tell somebody this morning, you're not alone. Battle's not yours. The battle is the Lord's. Giant may be screaming in your face, shouting at you, taunting you, sneering at you. The giants of circumstances, of life, of sins, of sickness, of financial adversity, shattered dreams, perpetual trouble, been morning and nights blaring at you. You finally get enough money to do something, and then you get an unexpected something that happens, and then you find yourself back in the same situation. You've been faithful. You've been a good steward. You've been paying your tithes. You've been paying your offering. It's the first thing you ought to check when you start having some issues. Say, well, am I being a good steward? You've been praying. You've been coming to church. The scripture says it rains on the just and the unjust. It just, some things just happen and you're wondering, and people are wondering, well, what are they going to do? Folks are starting to take sides. Oh, I give them a couple weeks and man, back to their own selves. People that should be ready to go to battle with you are on the sidelines just watching.
Yeah.
They got the forget syndrome. You know, they forgot.
Yeah.
Oh, call me. I got you. And you call them. There ain't no room on the voicemail to leave a voicemail. You got to forget that you're a child of God. You are a child of God. He loves you. You're the favorite child.
Yeah.
You are. Is there not a cause? Is there not a reason to worship? Is there not a reason to get up and give God some praise? It may look like a giant. In fact, it may be a giant.
Yeah.
That's all right. Because the greater the adversity, the greater the blessing.
Yep.
The greater the trial, the greater the God. It's a great big giant. We got a great big God. It's a big problem. We got a big God. It's a powerful issue. We got a powerful God. We don't know what to do. He's all knowing, all seeing, and he can do anything. Well, it just kind of goes and changes. Well, he's immutable. He's the only thing that's constant. You hold on to his hand and he'll walk with you. He'll talk with you. He'll carry you. He'll love you. He said, I'm with you always, even until the end of the earth. Is there not a cause this morning?
Amen.
See, David wakes up and hears his champion, and the Israelites wake up and they hear this champion. I personally believe, this is pastor, can't make a doctrine on it, just as my perception based on the reading of scripture. I believe that David's father, Jesse, had heard about Goliath. Because this took place for 40 days. I know they didn't have the telephone and FaceTime and newspaper and all that stuff. But bad news travels fast, no matter where you're at. So David goes and gets a front row seat, and he comes and they're talking. Have you seen this man? How big he is. How he taunts us. But man, Saul said he'll give away his daughter. Family, whoever the man is, his family, are going to be enriched with great riches. And I like this part. And make his father's house free in Israel. When you read it and you break it down in commentaries and other renditions, it says, and they'll be free from taxes. Sign me up, baby. David, his older brother, steps in and he's angry. Because David's kind of like, you know, what's going on? His older brother, Eli, tells him, hey, you need to go back and watch the sheep. Go back and take care of daddy's sheep. Notice something. Remember something. This is powerful. This is David's older brother. His older brother, he had three brothers that were in the army there. Eliab, Abinadab, and Shammah. His three brothers there. They're there battle with Goliath. And as older, David starts having these conversations with the soldiers. You know, the little brother comes along, who's anointed. Which, by the way, was done in secret. Only his brothers had seen that. And his older brother tells him, what are you doing here? Go back home. Go take care of the sheep, troublemaker. That's basically what he says. But if you go back and you read 1 Samuel chapter 16, the first person to get rejected by God and the man of God was who? It was Eli. Remember, he walks, the man of God, Samuel, comes over to Jesse's house to anoint one of David's brothers as king. And he started with the oldest, Eli. So Eli stood there while the man of God was waiting to hear from God about who was going to be anointed. And read the scripture. Samuel says, wow, surely the favor of God is on this guy. And that's where the scripture says, don't look at the outward, because man looking at the outward, but God looking at the heart. He said that about Eli. And what does Eli say about David? I know your heart. Really? The hater himself was the first one to get rejected by God. And David, the scripture says, is a man after God's own heart. Stood there and was anointed. Ah, thou anointest my head with oil. In the presence of my enemies. Think about that. So here's David, there with his brother. His brother's telling him these things. He's anointed king. And word gets to Saul. And says, hey, there's somebody here you probably want to talk to. And they summon for David. David is summoned by the king. See, when the king calls you, it's a good thing. You better be ready when the king calls you. Come on, somebody. The trumpet's going to sound someday. We better be ready when King Jesus calls us home. David goes, and there's dialogue. You're just a young man. Goliath is a champion. He's been a man of war since his youth, and you're just a youth. Scripture would say he was handsome and anointed. He had the favor of God, but his time wasn't come yet. That's when the dialogue takes place. Well, Saul, there was this one time I was watching the sheep for my father, and a bear and a lion come, and I destroyed them with my hands. We don't know anything about that. Nobody else saw that we're aware of in the scripture. We know about it because David told us. David wasn't out there tooting his own horn, but when the time came to say, you know what, my season's about to come, I did some things in private. You think David became a harp player and went to the palace to play the harp the first time for the man of God? No. Or for Saul the king? No. David was practicing in private. He was having private devotion. You think David began to write psalms and right away people start to sing him? No, no, I don't believe that. David, there was times and things begin to cultivate. Training began to take place and anointing began to take place. God will open the doors and things begin to happen. And so what happened with the lion and the bear, that was a preparation. That was a transition that was taking place for the transformation of something that would take place on the battlefield. So David begins to prove himself and says, you know what? I'm not going to use your weapon, Saul. I'm paraphrasing. I'm trying to hurry. I'm going to use what God has given me.
Yeah.
I haven't been able to, I haven't not trained in swords and shields.
Right.
Scripture says, I'm not proved in those yet. Well, go. The king says, go. Gives him his blessing. He gets out there. His brethren on one side, the Israelites army, the soldiers that were getting paid to fight. Isn't that frustrating? You pay someone to do something, they can't do it. Or they won't do it. These guys wouldn't do it. Not that they couldn't, they wouldn't do it. All it would have taken was one man. David gets out there on the battlefield, all alone. Steps out on the platform that God set him up for. On a stage prepared for him. David was the preferred one. Proverbs 21:2 says, every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the heart. God is looking for people that have a heart and a passion to be available and fulfill the purpose and the call of God. Is there not a cause this morning? Gets out there. You know, the thing with his brother, it really irks me. Because he didn't say, well, hey, good luck. I got you. We ought to pray with you. Nobody did anything. They just said, well, if somebody is willing to try it, why not put this kid out there? He gets out there. And he grabs 5 smooth stones. And when everyone else in the battlefield that were trained, that should have stepped up, should have helped, they're standing there. They were not available to do what this young man, who wasn't supposed to be there, ended up doing. See, there's no mistakes with God. Say, well, it's just circumstance. I don't believe it was just circumstances. It was a divine appointment. And the other thing that, before I'm going to back up for a sec. The other thing that irritates me is 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 30. When he says, is there not a cause? And he's talking to his brothers. He goes around to everyone else and he's asking them, is there not a cause? Is there not a reason? Is there not a purpose? And he gets the same answer. Well, you know, nobody says anything. Takes matters in his own hands. Walks out there. Gets the stones. God's permission. Under the authority of the king. David saw a man. Everyone else saw a champion. They saw a giant. They saw the impossibility. They grew into fear and disbelief and said, let's do nothing for 40 days. David saw an uncircumcised Philistine defying the armies of God. David saw opportunity. David didn't see no obstacle. David saw revival. David saw victory. What do you see this morning in your circumstance? Do you see faith? Do you see revival? Do you see favor? Do you see preparation? Do you see blessing? David walked out there with the favor of God and the favor of man. You know, Scripture tells us in Proverbs 16:7, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. See, David begins to walk out with his shepherd's bag and his staff and his slingshot. And I wonder if he began to hum the portion of Psalm 23. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. I need more monitor, please. You see, when God opens a door, nobody can shut the door. David saw Goliath as a target too big to miss. God would fight with him. Because the battle isn't ours. The battle is the Lord. David walks out to the valley. In the valley was the battlefield. In the valley. David had to come off the hilltop. He had to come off the mountainside into the valley. See, some of us aren't going to conquer some of the things you've been praying about and crying about, whining about, and talking to everyone else about until you come off of the mountain, off of the hillside, into the valley and say, Lord, create in me and help me and develop me. Let the battle take place in the valley. David had to come down off the high hill into the valley. I wonder if that's when he began to hum the phrase, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. With the pressure and the stress, his testimony of the bear, his testimony of the lion, that God, if God did it before, that God would be able to do it now, that God was going to be able to go before him. Can I tell somebody, if God did it for you before, God can also do it for you now, because the battle is not yours, but the battle is the Lord's. David walks out into the battlefield, 40 days of anticipation, much expectation, a nation watching, Goliath staring at him. Goliath begins to mock him. Scripture says he disdained him, but he was a youth. Scripture, when you break down that word disdain, it says he begins to scorn, disdain, despise. Goliath, the champion, cussed David out, read him the riot act, told him he was going to feed your body, I'm going to feed your body to the birds. David says, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day the Lord will deliver thee into my hands, and I will smite thee and take the head from thee, and I will give thy carcass unto the host of the Philistines this day, and unto the fowls of the air. And then he begins to go on to say, for the battle is the Lord's. And before you know it, David begins to sling that sling, and the rock went forth and hit him in the forehead, and that dude began to sway back and forth, and before you know it, he hit the ground, because the bigger they are, the harder they fall, and they begin to see their champion was down. Can I tell somebody that you got big circumstances, but we got a bigger God? You got crazy situations, but we got a God that's got all power and authority in heaven and on earth. David takes that sword. He takes the sword from Goliath. Notice this. David actually stands upon the Philistine. That's what the scripture says. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 51. David ran and stood upon the Philistine. That ought to be reassuring to somebody.
Yeah.
You got trouble and circumstance, and God's going to give you the victory over it, and before you know, you'll be standing on it.
Yeah.
Amen.
How you like me now?
Yeah.
Standing on it.
That's right.
And he takes Goliath's sword, his own sword, chops off his head.
Yeah.
Grabs that head. True story. This is a true story.
Yeah.
And he brings it back. Imagine that. It's crazy. Imagine Eli coming in here. Think about that. That's what happened. God used a young man to do something that men that were trained and were getting paid to do wouldn't do. What are we getting? What has God blessed us or equipped us with that we're not doing? See, David used what he had and he did something with it for God. What do you have in your hands and what are you doing with it? What do you have at your disposal? What resources, talents, abilities, treasures, contacts, people, businesses, companies, what do you have at your disposal? What are you not, or what are you doing with it for God? Is there not a cause? God's positioning you in places and with people and amongst things for a purpose. Wondering, well, God, I need to have a platform. God's given you a platform. God set you up for a reason, for a purpose. And we're all along wondering and asking and asking and asking. The battle's not ours. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. There's a lot of things that we're wrestling and fighting in the spirit. God is saying, I'm going to give you dominion over those things. Over depression and over anxiety and over fear and over the naysayers. David prepared in the downtime for when the time arose when David was going to be elevated. At this time, David still was at the mercies of the king. David was still a servant of the king. David was still serving his fathers, but David didn't quit. David didn't stick with the status quo. David looked for an opportunity that was there, and he saw the opportunity, and he saw favor, and he saw a giant that he said, you know what? If God killed the lion and the bear and used me to do that, God would allow me to do the same thing to this heathen.
Yeah.
Imagine that as you musicians come. Who or what are the giants are you facing in your life? Each one of us here has things that we're dealing with. Praying about, struggling, crying about, whining, frustrated over. What are we doing about it? See, I say it often, are we praying about it as much as we gripe about it? Do you have impossible situations? See, with God, all things are possible. Are you running in fear? If you read this story, I challenge you to go back and read 1 Samuel chapter 15, 16, and 17. David ran towards Goliath.
Yep.
So here we have, David wasn't supposed to be there. David's older brother would jealousy and tell him to go home, troublemaker. David wasn't qualified. People there that could have done it, should have done it, were supposed to be doing it, didn't do it. David shows up. David runs at the opportunity in the valley. He ran toward the enemy, toward Goliath, who was a champion, by the way. Let's not forget that. David used what he had and he did it for the glory of God.
Yeah.
And then he stands on what he overcame. And there was great victory that day in Israel. The Philistine army ran. In fact, the scripture would tell you, when you begin to break and study it down, it was about 6 miles that the Philistines retreated. And all along the way, there were Philistine bodies along the way. Because somebody stepped up and did something for God.
Yep.
They were anointed. They were appointed. But in the right season, they did what God had entrusted them to do. When everybody was watching and waiting. Do you stand this morning? Are you running in faith? Or are you running in fear? Are you listening to the wrong voices? Are you not being faithful? Trying to fight battles that are spiritual in a carnal way? Are you trying to fight battles with your skill set and your talent and your experience? Not even being a doer of the word? I ask you, how's that working out for you? You got big problems? Well, we serve a big God. You got giant problems? We serve a giant God. Get in alignment with God. Get on His side. And stay on His side. Don't listen to the sneering of the adversary. Think about that. The scripture says, your adversary, the devil. What more proof do you want? Your adversary, the devil. He's a liar, but you listen to him anyways. Go figure. Don't run away from God. Run toward him. Don't run from your calling. Don't run from repentance. The king is calling somebody this morning. He's calling you to repentance. Run toward the altar. Present yourselves a living sacrifice. Put yourself on the altar. Run towards commitment. Run towards faithfulness. Run towards salvation. Remember, the battle's not yours. The battle is the Lord's. I'm reaching for somebody in the Holy Ghost this morning. You've been running. You've been running. You've been scared. You've been afraid. Your whole life you've ran from commitment. Your whole life you've just kind of stayed in the batter's box. Sometimes you make it to first base, but the fear of making it to second, the whole time you've liked to be a part of the team and wear the uniform and just be a bench warmer, but God is calling you, say, get out. I need you. I need you to be a soul winner. I need you to be a Bible study teacher. I need you to be a prayer warrior. I need you to be an offering giver. I need you to use what God is, what I've given you, and do something with it. You've been praying for God to bless you, and God is saying, I've given you one talent. What are you doing with that one talent? You've been saying, God, I got two talents, and I want something else, God. Would you help me? And God is saying, I've given you two. What are you doing with the two that I've given you? You've been praying, God, enlarge my coast, enlarge my territory. And God is saying, I'm trying. Would you step out? Would you do something? You've been asking, you've been praying for God to do something. He's saying, I'm trying, but you've tied my hands. You haven't been faithful in tithes and offering. You haven't been faithful in worship. You haven't been faithful in stewardship of what I've given you already. And he's saying, you know what? I'm calling you. And there's going to come a time when he calls one last time. And then the trumpet's going to sound. And it's going to be too late. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of man. Don't let the cares of life prevent you from the call of the King. Would you reach out this morning? Would you gather around the altar? Would you pray? Is there not a cause this morning? Is there not a reason? Is there not a purpose? It's a question I ask one and all this morning. Oh Jesus. Would you run? Would you run to repentance? Would you run towards faithfulness? I want to be faithful. I want to be committed.
By His blood,
I want to be saved. And more than wanting to be saved, I need to be saved.
Now we have the victory.
I'm running, God. I'm tired of running in fear. I'm tired of running Him down.
Broken, Jesus overcame.
I'm tired of saying somebody else will. I'm going to be that somebody else.